So let's rise to our feet and welcome Apostle Stephanie Ike.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just give a shout to Jesus? Amen. Amen. I am so, so blessed to be back at Wolfbeck. You know, last year, which felt like yesterday, last year during Wolfbeck, I was actually pregnant. And to just see that, you know, my son has been born and just so beautiful. So this is so special for me. While we're standing, let's just lift up our hands in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that which you are about to do. We thank you, Lord God, because you've already known this moment even before we stepped into it. You knew the people that would be drawn to this moment, Lord God. You knew those that would be tuning in and those that would even be watching later because, Lord, you are in all things. The past, the present, the future are all before you as now. And so, Lord Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, there is something so unique you want to do tonight. There is something so special you want to do in the lives of these people. And I thank you that I would not even be in the way myself, but you would have the way completely. And that you would bring transformation, that you would bring change in ways they could never expect, that for many they would feel like they are dreaming because breakthrough in an area felt like a foreign thing. They've been expecting and believing for so long and they just lost. It's almost as the years went by, unbelief began to set in and they started to adapt with whatever life has become. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would make yourself known tonight. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate Pastors Poju and Pastor Toyi? God bless you. Can we celebrate their staff and amazing team here at Wolfbeck? Amen. You know, today was so interesting. Myself and Pastor Dolakbo were on the same flight. And when we landed, he asked me a question. I didn't know that question was going to lead to something else. And he asked me, he said, do you still get nervous to preach? Like before you preach, do you get nervous? Because I used to get so nervous before. There's a weight that comes to this. And I shared with him that not as much is a yes and no, right? Because yes, I'm nervous, because I understand the weight connected to the assignment. If this was just a mentorship, you know, like a TED Talk, it's different. I would not be nervous at all. Because I'm speaking to you simply from my experiences, and I have no expectation on how it ends. But when I'm ministering in the name of the Lord, there is a different weight that you want to make sure you steward it properly, that the Lord will completely fulfill his will and purpose in that moment through you. But I said no, because I've really just come to a place where I feel as though I'm in full agreement with what God says about me. And I'm in full dependency on what he wants to do. And I thought the conversation would end there. And then we get to the hotel. And I was trying to stay, you know, just study and pray with the Lord. And the next thing the Lord told me is that all those notes you have, throw it away. That's why all I came here is with a Bible, because that's very accurate. Because all I have is scriptures. And the Lord said, all the notes, throw it away. Because there's something I want to do through you, and you just have to believe how it's going to flow. And so all I could do was meditate on the scripture that he gave me. And I believe that for some people, it's going to minister to you, because sometimes we try to make this walk with the Lord so complicated. Are you in your word? Not just about the word someone else spoke, Because you see, as Christians, it is very easy to toe the line between information and revelation. You could listen to a sermon every single day and not have a revelation behind what they're saying. So all you're amassing is information. Because revelation is what changes and transforms you. If you listen to sermons every day, you listen to sermons every week, and you are still bothered by the same things, change has not happened. If you are always listening to your favorite preachers and all of that, and the same thing that you feared yesterday, you still fear today. The same thing you cried about last year, you're still crying about it this year. Change has not happened. Because there is a transformation that takes place in the Lord. It's not that your circumstances change, but there is something you've captured in God. This is the reason why the Lord will often tell the disciples, why are you afraid? You've seen too much to still carry this same fear. But you see, he also understood. He was speaking to two things at the same time. Because yes, he's going to question their fear, because that's what happens when you're in the flesh. You live in the realm of doubt and unbelief. But he also knew that the time is coming when they would have the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord will remind them of these things, and something will shift in them. You see, if you're standing, you may be seated. We're just going to flow how the Lord wants to. But I'm saying this because while I was in prayer, the Lord began to show me there are many in this room, there are many listening, and you're not really saved, even though you think you are. You've just adapted into church culture. Oftentimes, there are people that I would literally be in conversation and I will ask a person, like, you know, man, what was it like when you met Jesus? And they will tell me, I was just born in Christianity. You know, I don't have a moment that changed. I was just born into it. I said, no. Salvation is not something you inherit. It's personal. Many of us know the routine of church, but we don't understand kingdom. Many of us know how to recite things, but we don't understand the revelation behind what we're even saying. Many of us don't even have the revelation of Jesus. Because revelation is that which will bring conviction into your life, and it will shape how you live your life. If you truly had a revelation of Jesus, there are some of you and your family members are practicing things outside of Christ. You've not confronted them once. You've not gone on a fast once to pray and intercede for them. If you truly believed that the Jesus you serve is the only way, and you have someone close to you that is going into the gods of their ancestors, and you say nothing, you've never prayed for them even once, do you really know that to be true? Is it furnished in your heart that Jesus is the only way? Because if I believe it, I will be burdened by it. When I see people close to me that are walking in a different path, I will speak up. I won't just let conversations pass by like, you know what, it's okay. We will all make it to heaven. You see, heaven, the heaven we desire to make it into, it's not just about a place. It is him. Without Jesus, there is no heaven. It's not a place, it's a person. That's why Jesus, even when he was about to, you know, go through everything, he would talk to the disciples and tell them that it is good for him to go, because when he goes, he would make a place for them. He would talk about, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and sometimes we try to make that to be about real estate, but they didn't even have mansions back then. So we make it about, wow, you know, we think about a house we love and we say, oh, wow, that's my. They didn't even have that when Jesus walked the earth. So he wasn't talking about real estate. He is the real estate. He was speaking of himself. So if we truly have a conviction about Jesus, we will spread the gospel more. If you are truly saved, if the thing that you prayed for, material things, if you never received it, will you still worship him? You see, oftentimes what draws many of us to the Lord are the things we desire materially. Salvation was not because you would have some promotion or you would get married. Salvation is a spiritual thing. That you come into the revelation that the path I am walking in is leading to death. And if I do not receive this Jesus, then for eternity I would be condemned. You come into the understanding that eternal life is only found in him. But for many of us, we look at Christianity like this transaction. And these are the things that we must renew in our thinking. Because you see, the burden the Lord gave me for tonight is that when we talk about thy kingdom come, and we talk, when we say that phrase, we're talking about thy kingdom come on earth, as it is in heaven, right? When Jesus, the model prayer, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And so we think of thy kingdom come first from the perspective of what needs to happen on earth. But first, thy kingdom come has to happen in you. If it doesn't happen in you, it can never happen through you. If Christ does not rule and reign over your life, then he cannot rule and reign through your life. Because for his kingdom to come, then he must be in partnership with his sons. And this is not about gender. This is just about people that understand their inheritance in Christ. They understand what they have in his name. When Jesus will tell them that whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. But yet that was not a blank check, because when you study that scripture properly, you will see that Jesus was talking about those who were connected to his mission. It was not a blank check that Jesus gave us to just say, hey, after you pray, this is the signature. This is the stamp that gets you to heaven. You pray for anything I say in Jesus' name. If you study it properly, Jesus is talking about people who are committed to his mission because he continues to live through you. The scripture talks about how he saw you and prolonged his days. And so when you're committed to his mission, then whatever you ask in his name falls in alignment with his will. But you see, before you even get to that place, Christ must reign and rule over you. And that's what leads me to this scripture today. We're going to be reading in Mark 5. And this is about the man, many of us are familiar with this story, the man who was demon possessed. And before we, Mark 5 is like in the middle of a story. There's a journey that leads into Mark 5. It's so beautiful because it starts off in Mark 1 and you see how Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And as he's teaching in the synagogue, the people are astonished by him. They marvel at him because they said, wow, this man is teaching with such authority, unlike the scribes. So they've been listening to teachings, but then there's something about the man Jesus that it's not like what we know. There is authority in his words. And why would they recognize authority in his words? Because as he's speaking, it's changing them. It's transforming how they think. And the scripture tells us that as a man thinks, so is he. There are things that will never change in your life until you change your perception about it. Until your mind is renewed about it. And so when Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, all of a sudden when he's wrapped up, a man starts manifesting. A man with a demon in the synagogue starts to expose himself. Why? There are two things happening here. Because first of all, you will see that, you know, the scripture tells us that the entrance of his word is light. And so as Jesus is teaching, because one of his first messages, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because if you don't change how you think, if your mind is under the influence of the kingdom of darkness, there are things you can never walk in. And so when Jesus is teaching, they recognize that this teaching has authority because I'm not just hearing it and planning what to eat for dinner. I'm hearing it and it is transforming me. You see, there are demons. It's not just that Jesus was teaching and they recognize his authority. It's also speaking to the fact that there are certain demons within a person or influencing a person, and they are connected with how you think. What gives them legal grounds in your life is your perception. What gives them legal access to oppress you is that you constantly see yourself as a victim. You don't walk in authority, you beg for freedom. You look at freedom as something you're begging Jesus to do for you. And you see, there are some times that because you don't even know who you really are, you don't really know the influence that is on your life. There are some prayers that the Lord would not even answer, not even from a place of what you may consider mercy, because mercy in his perspective is the fact that if he answers that prayer, then it would inform a generation that this is how we should pray. Because when you will share your testimony, you would not realize how many people it would reach because you don't know who you are yet. You don't know who God has called you to become. And the Lord knows that if I answer your prayer this way, you will inform a generation in error. That people will feel as though they need to come before the Lord feeling worthless. Feeling like, God, I know I have sinned so many times against you. I know I'm worth nothing. And the Lord is like, no, you're worth everything. You are worth my blood. And you come and you're begging. And he wants you to step into your authority so that when that testimony is heard. Do you know there are many fathers in the faith today? Many, and when I say fathers again, I'm not speaking about gender or men, you know, men, women, all. I'm a woman, okay? But when I talk about fathers in the faith, why do we honor them so much? Because they unlocked something in God for us. There was something they taught us when it came to prayer. There was something they taught us when it came to matters of the kingdom. There was something they taught us about fasting. The problem is that because you don't know who you are looking at your miracle as an isolated event. Like this miracle only concerns me. And you don't realize it has always been designed by God that that which you are asking for would be a seed for many others. And so the manner in which it is answered, it matters. The scripture will talk about things like how God will talk about the counsel of his will. So the will of God can have a counsel. That means when you're praying and the Lord realizes, if I answer this prayer, it's going to go against my will for your life. He wouldn't answer it. Not in the way you desire. And so there is an authority that we ought to walk into. But it starts oftentimes with how we think. You see, your mind is a weapon. And your life reveals who holds that weapon. If it is the Lord or if it is the enemy. And so when Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, all of a sudden, we just read the scripture and we think that, oh, he was, you know, sometimes we make jokes about it like, oh, the first demon was in the church. And it's not like a joke thing, because then what happens is that it makes people feel weird about themselves when they start manifesting. And it's not, because what's happening is that, first of all, that man is someone who, for me, should even be, you know, given, like, to be looked in a respectful way, because he was not just there to waste time. The moment Jesus started to teach, he received his words. And because change was happening in him, the strongholds that the demons have, it was loose. They didn't have any legal grounds in his life anymore, so what else would happen? They have to reveal themselves. You see, sometimes the deliverance you need is not just in someone laying hands on you. It's in how you think about a matter. It's in what you have believed concerning your life. It's in how you see yourself. That maybe there were things that you experienced even when you were younger. You see, one of the enemy's most predictable acts is to target you as a child. You see, when you go to, you know, the book of Genesis has to be one of my favorite books. And in particular, everything that happened in the Garden of Eden is one of my favorite places to study in the Bible, because it uncovers a lot of how the enemy works. And it also reveals to us a lot about the heart of God. But when the serpent went to Eve, even though the Bible says and Adam was there, right? Sometimes we make this too much about the women. The Bible, read your Bible. So it's not like I have a different translation. It says that Adam was with her. But that's not the point, because if we were in the garden now, we would fall. But you see, when we look at that story, we're thinking that, you know, they should have known better. But you know what? In reality, these were children in an adult body. They were formed by the Lord, right, to be the first, you know, man, male and female. And because they were formed by the Lord in that manner, he formed them in an adult body. But in reality, these were children. Children in their state of mind. Children in their thinking. And so it is easy to manipulate a babe. They hadn't yet come into a place of maturity in Christ. So it's easier to attack them as babes. And why am I saying this? Because in your life, where the enemy often strikes is in your childhood. Because trauma gives him a foothold. Your trauma is what you carry on with you oftentimes that keeps you in the narrative of shame. Isn't it interesting that someone abused you, yet you carry the shame? You make it about you when they are the monster. Because it gives him access to manipulate how you see yourself for years to come. Wow, thank you, Lord. There are angels in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just flow. The Lord is going to do something special very soon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Mark 1. We see Jesus teaching in the synagogue. And all of a sudden, minds are renewed. And in just a little bit, I feel the heart of God so strong on this. In just a little bit, there are many of you, and you have carried shame for so many years. And it's interesting because there's one of you, you're actually in the choir. The Lord is showing me I see where you minister in this house. You sing with all your heart. But you go home and you're broken. You don't believe what you're singing because you're still carrying it. And where the enemy tries to manipulate you is that he gives you this idea that where was God when it happened? You see, the truth is there is evil in this world. We don't always have all the answers, but there is real evil in this world. But the Lord is not just the one who wants to bring you into the family of God. It's not just after what happens in your spirit. He's after your soul. He wants to make your soul whole. Because when there are fragments in the soul, you see, one of the hardest and easiest, and I'll explain why I said that, demons to cast out is one that has wrapped itself around a fragmented piece of your soul. What do I mean by that? Something that took place in a trauma that happened to you. It broke something in you. And a demon wrapped itself around that brokenness. And why is it hard? Because you identify as the demon's nature. You start to believe that is who you are. And it's not who you are. It is the nature of the spirit that is oppressing you. You see, you have to understand that demons have a personality. They're just not this random things floating around. They have a personality, and the only way they can experience who they are is to embody a body. That's why you can see where someone, you can cast out a spirit of lust from a man or woman, and the taste leaves her. The whole time they thought they were the ones that just couldn't help themselves. And the problem is that you believed it was you. You can't cast out what you're in agreement with. You can only counsel it. So the best people can do for you is counsel you and help you strengthen your willpower. And then you fail again. Because it's not even about your will. It's the will of an evil spirit experiencing itself through you. And one of the things we must do tonight is for you to recognize it is not me. And another area where we feel ashamed is to feel as though, am I dealing with a demonic spirit? You're not possessed, but you're being influenced. There were things in my life that I would just say, oh, that's just how I am. It's not harmful. Until the Lord opened my eyes, Stephanie, that's not you. That is a spirit that has been influencing you. I remember there was a young gentleman who was living a homosexual lifestyle. And he just believed, this is who I am. And when you think this is who you are, you're coming to God from the perspective of, if you can, you know, please change me. And the mentality behind it is wrong. Because you're still identifying the nature of a demon as you. Because when you come to Jesus, you didn't just come to Jesus to say, here is my life. You came to him to do an exchange. That's what salvation is. I give you my life. Galatians 2:20. My old self died on the cross. And the life that I live now, I live in faith in Christ Jesus. That it is him that lives through me. So what did I receive when I met him? The life of God. The life of God does not do that. The life of God is not a liar. The life of God is not a manipulator. The life of God is not a cheater. The life of God does not indulge in sexual acts that are against this holy body. That is not the life of God. And until you come out of agreement with it, people can only counsel you. Now, it's also the easiest, because this requires teaching. When you know the truth, then it will set you free. When you begin to realize this is not me, the reason I brought that gentleman up, because when he came to the point, after we had sessions of just teaching the word, when he came to the moment of saying, Lord, this is not me. I don't know when this thing came over me. Maybe I can't trace the roots, but he came to a place and said, Lord, this is not me. And when he started to desire a family, I can never forget this day. We all went out to dinner and we had a beautiful conversation. And we left that conversation with him saying, he wants a family. He wants to get married. He wants a wife. He wants children. That night, I literally woke up at 3 in the morning from a dream. And in the dream, I encountered the spirit of homosexuality. And the spirit had him in chains. And it was trying to threaten me. It says, how dare you? How dare you come after him? Do you know who we are? And it was saying all these things. And I'm looking like, what is going on here? And then there was a voice speaking to me that says, don't focus on them. Focus on his hands, because his whole body was in chains. He says, look at him. Don't listen to them. Look at him. And as I stared at him, all of a sudden, there was a light that came from above and broke his chains. Guess what? Today he's married and has a son. Why am I saying that? You see, while I was in prayer, there are many things the Lord began to show me that he wants to do. And in particular, this could speak to several people. You see, something I love about the prophetic is that, first of all, we see in part, right? Perfect prophecy is that which is Jesus himself. And so I might say something as pertaining to one person, but there might be several others that it speaks to. Still receive it. But in particular, the Lord showed me a young lady who has been dealing with feelings for other women, to the point of even wanting to experiment. Because you think this is who you are and you have to reject that. God, this is not me. Wherever this thing gained grounds in my life, I do not agree with its narrative. Because you have to understand, you see, when the Bible teaches about evil spirits, when it talks about how, you know, when an evil spirit is cast out of a man, and it goes to dry places. And what is it doing in dry places? It is looking for rest. So that means when an evil spirit is operating through a person, it has found rest in you. And if it finds rest in you, that means it has agreement with you. That means there is something about how you think that is in agreement with its ways. So you see him as yourself. And for some of you, your deliverance is literally in coming out of agreement with what you have been identifying as yourself. So Jesus teaches, and all of a sudden, a man is set free. Then we continue in this journey in Mark. We go to Mark 3, and you see how the Bible will talk about that the demons will literally bow down and fall before Jesus. Now, demons don't have a body, so who is falling down? People who have been demonized. But it is the demons that is drawing them to Jesus, because they even recognize authority. When Jesus showed up on the scene, it meant judgment for them. So they would come to him before he seeks them out. Why? Because even demons are looking for mercy. They would say, what have you to do with us? You see, sometimes it's confusing. Why would someone with a demon run to Jesus, especially when you talk about a man possessed by a demon? Because the demon knew that the presence of Jesus is judgment for him. You can't escape it. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. On earth, above the earth, and under the earth. Every knee. So his very presence was the announcement of their judgment. That's why in a little bit, when we read Mark 5, you will see that the demons would plead with Jesus, please send us into the swine. And so we see that the demons will come and bow before him. And then in Mark 4, after Jesus is ministering and all these beautiful things, he makes an interesting announcement. Oftentimes, he would just go places. But then he tells his disciples, we must go to the other side. As though he was getting ready for something. Because on the way there, all of a sudden, the winds was not moving in their favor. And there was a great windstorm. And the disciples began to panic because they believed they were drowning. And here is the funny thing that Mark, you know, when I read the Bible, one thing that I also pay attention to are the details that different disciples paid attention to. Because when Mark writes the accounts of this story, when he goes to call Jesus, he mentions to us that Jesus was not just sleeping, but sleeping on a pillow. I'm sure it must have annoyed him. What kind of comfort is this man under while we are drowning? So even when he says, Master, don't you care? Because clearly you are enjoying this sleep more than our lives. They didn't see it properly yet. Jesus, aware of everything. Do you know what it means to grab a pillow and put your head on it? Jesus is aware of everything and he's at rest because he is above it all. He is superior to it all. And so even when they call him, the Bible uses another interesting language that he rebukes the wind. So could it be that even in those moments, the elements of nature was resisting, was under demonic influence to try to resist Jesus from coming to the town. But the moment Jesus rebukes it, everything calms down because he is superior. And then Mark 5 is now where we see Jesus heading to. And even before I say that, because in Mark 4, Jesus is teaching on the kingdom. He gives many parables to describe the kingdom. And then the scripture tells us in chapter 4, on that same day, he tells his disciples, we must go to the other town because let me not just teach it to you in parables, I'm going to demonstrate it to you. And now Mark 5 lands where we are. So it says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. His environment, you see, this is so, there's so much to this to unpack, but I will just focus on some key things. This is again why, as believers, you should have a beautiful relationship with your Bible, because it is alive, it's layered. It's not just speaking to one thing, it's unpacking several things as the Spirit begins to open it to you. And so he says that the man is living amongst the tombs. The environment of the man is that which represents what is happening in him. You see, there are some of you, the Lord is going to call you out of certain places. Out of certain people group, certain relationships and friendships. Because the only thing that connected you all was pain and brokenness. And people that have made your lukewarm nature comfortable. People that affirm you in stupidity. That's the best way I could say it. Do you know there are people that you will do something you know this is not the way God has called you to live, and there is a friend you can call, and they will encourage you. It's okay. God knows your heart. You're trying. You don't realize when you stay in a cycle of sin, will God forgive you? If you're truly repentant, of course he will forgive you. He already forgave you. It's not about just about God forgiving you. It's that you're missing seasons of your life. The Bible says times and seasons belong to the Lord. But God is so brilliant in his stewardship, he will not open a door for you to only squander. If you have not matured to the level of walking into those doors, he will not open it. You think this is just about God knows my heart. This is actually deception. You see, what I'm learning about the enemy is that he is more deceitful than he is powerful. You think this is just about, okay, God, forgive me the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time? When the Bible says that there is a time that you ought to be teachers, yet you are still in need of being taught. It's saying that you are so behind your season because you're looking for excuses to stay small. And you don't realize that the enemy is deceiving you, is deceiving your perception about your lifestyle to make it about God knows my heart. No, he should own it. He should transform it. That should be your expectancy. You see, faith is a currency that makes things happen. If you don't believe that God should own my heart, you would always stay in the level of God knows my heart. If you don't believe that God can transform my heart, you will never actually make the steps to get you there. And while you have friends that are applauding you, in foolishness, Satan is mocking you. We got another one. You see, this life is about spiritual warfare. There is nothing about this life that is random. There is no neutrality. It is about kingdoms. Either the kingdom of God is influencing your life, or the kingdom of darkness is advancing its agenda. That's it. So when you're in a state, this is why Jesus himself cannot even stand people that are lukewarm. Because when you're in this lukewarm nature, you feel as though you could, you know, bounce back in between the two. And he says, no, I will spit you out. Because if you're cold, it's better. At least we can get you hot. And if you're hot, stay hot. But when you're lukewarm, that means you believe that you can dwell in both realms. You know, I'm not really that hot yet, like those people that are so on fire for Jesus. And I'm not like, you know, a murderer or a serial killer. I'm just here, you know, fornicating, you know, committing adultery, you know, just manipulating, stealing. But I love Jesus. I pay my tithe after I steal. Do you know there are people who pray to God when they go to steal? Do you know there are kidnappers who would pray before they go and kidnap? There are people in businesses that are literally a mockery to what they present themselves to be, but they pray before they go for favor. Do you see the deception? But that God knows my heart. God should own your heart. God should change you. That should be what you desire. Because it's not about him knowing your heart. It's that you are missing key seasons of your life. So let's look at this man. He was in a tomb. His environment reflected what was happening to him. And no one could bind him anymore, not even a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs, on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now this man was next level. He was possessed by this demon. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. You see, this man was not, it's not the man who ran. Just like Mark 3 would tell us that the demons would bow before him. When the demons saw who is really in charge, they went and prostrated themselves. and crying out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" This is not the man, these are the demons that possessed him. Now, when Jesus is on the scene, this is about kingdoms, because that man, literally, as we would read in the scriptures, he had what they called legion. A host of many demons was in that man. That man represented the kingdom that was in charge in that territory. So Jesus is not just going to teach about the kingdom. He's going to demonstrate it. Because when the kingdom of God reveals itself in a place, it takes the territory. What that man had, you know, I believe when you study this scripture, I encourage you even study it for yourself, because when the demons would ask, you know, the Lord, please send us into the swine, and many people would wonder, why would Jesus even listen to them? Why would he grant them their request? It was not about the demons. Jesus would care less about them. I believe it was more so to teach and reveal what was oppressing this man. The magnitude. Because when you see the herd of swine, at least if we could count it, the Bible said at around 2,000. One man, 2,000 plus demons. Because it was not just about the man, it was about the spirits that wanted to gain ground in that territory. Why else would they chain him if he wasn't a nuisance? This was not just a regular madman. We see mad people all the time. There was something about this man that they needed to keep under control, but they couldn't. And so Jesus allows them to go into the swine. And even when they were in the swine, they were so violent. And then what ends up is still judgment. They run into the ocean, and that's a whole thing to unpack in itself. But here is something so interesting. Because as we go on to study, we will see that in verse, let me read from verse 15. Because after Jesus has cast out the demons from him, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. You see, there are some people that are not in their right mind literally because of demonic oppression. And there are some that are not in their right mind because of what they've come to believe. The lies that have been passed down over the years. That something you experienced shaped your reality. But he came back to his right mind. And this man that was written off, this man that might feel like there is nothing good that could come out of him anymore. Because if you study this, you will see that the man didn't even have clothes on. So for so many years, he was just there naked. And a host for just, 2,000 plus demons. Imagine how shame could creep in. He said things that he has no knowledge of. He did things that was not even that which he desired to do, because his case was full on possession. He wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go home and share what I have done for you. Now, as you continue in the book of Mark, I believe this is in Mark 7 or Mark 8, Jesus would later return, because first of all, this man, you see, what the enemy used him to do was to take a territory. When Jesus commissioned him, the man went and sharing the gospel in 10 cities. And when Jesus would later return to that region, there were 4,000 people that were drawn to Jesus. This is so powerful, because the same region, a region that would reject the Lord, all of a sudden accepts him. Something changed the spiritual climate. And I don't believe it's coincidence, because how do we know how many number of people? Because the Lord will feed them supernaturally. And the scripture will tell us that the amount of people that ate were 4,000. Now, this was a man who had at least 2,000 demons. And when he comes out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, his possibilities multiply. You don't even know who you are if you're towing the fence. You might feel comfortable being lukewarm. You might feel comfortable because you see, if your life, I'm not just talking about your words, if your life does not represent the nature of the God you serve. Because before God can care about what you do for him, he cares about who you are in him. Because you could do the biggest things for God and still be mean to your spouse. That matters before God. Actually, I would dare to believe that holds more weight. Because what we do is an overflow. So could it be that the Crusades is not really because you love Jesus, but maybe the Crusades is wrapped up in self? Because if you really love him, you should have consistency throughout your life. You should love him enough to reflect him to your spouse. You should love him enough to reflect him to your coworkers, not just to a crowd. You see, that's why there are some things that we have as desires and we believe that, God, I just want to make your name great. And he says, well, why don't you start with your family? Why don't you start there? Because then, when that time comes, it's flowing from a pure place. The intention and the motive is pure. Stand with me. I see the Lord wants to do a few things in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If there's someone in the choir that can sing, just very quickly, Only Yeshua, who knows that song? Thank you, Jesus. If you're in the choir, you could just come to the stage.
There'll be no end. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To your kingdom, there'll be no end.
That you are here and you are going to glorify Jesus in the midst of your people. And I thank you, Lord, that for everyone in this place and those who are tuning in, where any place that demonic spirits have been oppressing them, lebla katana masoko likaira branina masekete ibrasuna maka likoyana mashikaira branina masoto ikanama. There are four angels of the Lord here. Thank you. Ebrakatanama,
Lebrakatira blasokote na maka. Librakaira blana masokoi rabla shekete. Lena makona masekeira na mashikira bosoto. Librona makana mashikaira masotola. Holy Spirit, locate them. Ibrakatana masekira blana makola blasekete. Lebrosuna makani na mashina maka. Ibra sokona masika ira blaseke. Lebra sokona mashika na ma. Lebra sika na ma ko ira blasuku ira bla. I see there are people that the Lord is going to restore your dignity back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kanina masaka ina masoko ira blaseka. Lebra saka ya na masoko tena ma. I command every demonic spirit that entered through rape. Lebra ina makona masheketi. Lebra katena masoko ina blakatena ma. No music, no music. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are some. You thought that fornication was just who you were, you couldn't help it. But every demonic spirit that found access to you, and it happened on the account of rape, Lebrani na makate ibraso, Lebrani na makayi na makoyi na brase. I command the spirits that have been oppressing you to leave now in the name of Jesus. I see the Lord rewinding time. Lika nama sheketi na maka, lebroni nama seketi nama, lebruko nama shika ina masoto. The Lord is rewinding the time. And for some of you, it's almost as though you are seeing images in your mind, and it's playing out the things that happened to you. And the Lord says He is Alpha Omega. He is the only one that can go into your past. Ebra sheketa na mako, libro sona makayi, ibra keta ni na ma. Lord Jesus, every seed that was planted in the minds of your children that came from the place of sexual molestation. This is not just women. Ika nama sakai ra brasekete, lebra shika nama soko nama sa, librokote. And the spirit of the enemy was looking for expression. Demonic spirits were looking for where to abide. I call you out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of oppression, every spirit of oppression. The Lord is highlighting to me there are five people. And you, it was rape that brought that spirit in. You can't even control yourself, but the Lord is setting you free. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All eyes closed for just a minute. Holy Spirit, I command every oppressed to be set free. Amen. I call forth the captives into freedom. Amen. Those that have been bound by the enemy, I loose you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Spirit of the living God, begin to touch your people now. Begin to touch your people now. I see where there is this oil that is coming down. Labrani namaka. Eyes closed. Don't be distracted. Librano mokon namayika namase. Let it come stronger, Lord. Let it come stronger, Lord. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. What the enemy thought he could plant, let it come stronger. Lebrana maka ibra sokote. Librona make na makayina ma. Lebroni na maka. There are some of you. It is the mercy of God that will locate you. Because you are still struggling with who has this person been. You don't realize what has been you and the demon. Because I see that it has been with you even from there were things that happened to you even in the womb. You see, you have to understand, when John the Baptist was in the presence of Jesus, womb to womb, he received the Spirit of God. Because in the spiritual realm, as long as you're on this earth, something has begun. And there were some of you, you don't know the difference because you've always been that way. But it is a door that was opened by those before you. Ikayana masuko yida brasata. Lebrani na makona masika ibra suta yina maka. Let me say something, but don't be distracted. If you can, keep your eyes closed. One of the dangers of pornography. You can be a man and you're watching two women and it doesn't make you any different. It makes you a man in the world standard. But you just invited a spirit that will find expression in a different way through your seed. So there are people that are born and they think they are born with those feelings, not knowing there was something that opened the door when they were conceived. Spirit of God, in your mercy, locate them. And let the oil begin to flow. In the name of Jesus, you will do greater for the kingdom of God than you have done for the kingdom of darkness. There is an angel who I see almost with like a sickle. And as he uproots, another one will pour oil. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. There is another flow happening. Locate them. Spirit of the Lord, locate them. Spirit of the Lord, locate them. Let the oil come stronger. Let it not be denied on those that it is addressed to. Librani nama kayera bra soto. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I speak directly to every volunteer and staff in this church. No longer would you perform with a mask on, but let the oil of God locate you now in the name of Jesus. Lebrani namaka yida braso. Lekanama sukoida brana maka. Likaida brasaka na makuida brani na makom. Let it come stronger. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I see there are 12 people. Likaida brani na makota na makaida brasoto. There are 12 people the Lord wants to separate unto himself as intercessors of this land. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let the oil of God fall on you now. Let the oil of God fall on you now. Let the oil of God fall on you now. Ibrakina makana maso. There are mantles the Lord wants to release that would allow you to do things supernaturally. You didn't even know you could pray as long as you will begin to pray. Let the spirit of prayer begin to overtake you now in the name of Jesus. Lebra shikayina ma lebrosika na makira brosa lekuna masikayina maka. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ibrakita nina makayena masoko lebrushika na Ibrasakani namako. In that 12, there are three men. And you have denied your calling for far too long. There is nothing new under the sun. Regardless of what your past has recorded about you, it does not speak to what God has said about your future. As you embrace, listen carefully, begin to pray and embrace the call of God. And as you embrace it, there is a mantle that will come upon you. As you embrace it in truth, there are three men the Lord is showing me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, locate them. Locate them. Locate them. Locate them. Locate them. Locate them. You can never be too strong for God. You can never be too weak for God. You can never have a past too dirty for God if you submit it to Him. Kibra sakayina mako. Lebra shikena masuko yira brasata. Lebra nina maka. I see an angel of the Lord and he's hovering. Ibrashina makona mase. Lebruni makana maseki da brasate. Lebrashikata. And he is coming with healing. Healing, healing, healing. Lord, let it not be undeniable. Those that need healing in the body, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. Kebra sake na mako, lebra kati na maka, lebro koti da bra sheketa. There is someone in that corner, and you've been dealing with deafness in an ear. And I see the Lord opening your ear now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the Lord. Lebri na mako na ma sheketi da bra na ma. Whatever altars has been speaking against your destiny, begin to pray. There is something serious happening in this place. You see, you don't even understand. Lord, I pray that you will begin to open the eyes of your children and their hearts to know that we are at war. There is a grace coming right now to fall on families where demonic altars are being risen up against you. Where demonic altars have been speaking against you. But if you be in Christ, you have been given a name that is above every other name. In the name of Jesus, every demonic altar, every demonic location, and the workings of that altar in your life be nullified in the name of Jesus. Lord, I command fire. Where altars have been buried, Ebra kanina masoko. I see a lady's womb that has been tied. Likayira brasheke. Lord, locate her now in the name of Jesus. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Kira branina mako, rabra seketina ma. Lebra kika yira brosokote. Lebra kana mashika yana maki. Lekuna masika ya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Release a sound of prayer. Release a sound of prayer. Release a sound of prayer. I see where the Lord is going into homes. I see where the Lord is walking amongst your homes. Likaira brasakana mako ira braseke. Lebrakuna mashiki ira brasokota. Let thy kingdom come in us first. Let thy kingdom be revealed in our families. Let thy kingdom be revealed in our communities. Likaira brasuna maka. Lord, we will not be in you. And another altar is taking the glory. But let thy kingdom come. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 I see where things are about to be uprooted. Ibra kanina makoyida brase. And as things are uprooted, some of you will begin to experience healing in your body. because the healing was not natural to begin with. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, there is something you must understand if you're going to walk with God. Well, we're going to say one more thing in prayer. If you are going to command obedience, you cannot be a disobedient vessel. And this is what I mean. When we begin to seek the Lord for things to be uprooted, what are we doing? We are acknowledging that the name of Jesus, which reveals his person, his authority, his title, his office, it reveals the totality of God. If I'm going to acknowledge that he has more authority than whatever was buried in my family house, if I'm going to acknowledge that the name of Jesus is superior to other gods, then that same authority he has over them, he should have over me. That reveals belief. This is what takes your words from empty to powerful. Because if I'm going to command something to be obedient to Jesus, I must be a vessel that is obedient to him. And in a moment, I want you to start to reflect on your life. Something is about to fall, but it will fall on those who are at the place of true repentance. And I'm not saying, if don't get me wrong, there's something unique God wants to do concerning altars and bloodlines. I'm not talking about power or anything. I'm just talking about there's something specific the Lord wants to do. And you know yourself. You know your truth. If you have been living in sin and making excuses for it, you cannot walk in true authority. Because the Lord does not have government over you. How can you now expect things to obey when you speak? There are some things that he would do for his name's sake, but you would always be limited. If you will find you would experience authority through your words, then live under authority. There is a dimension of God you cannot understand until you are one under authority and his authority. So begin to pray. If there are things, areas in your life you need to repent, come before the Lord and say, "Own my heart." Don't just know it, but transform it. You see, when your life reveals a nature that is outside of Christ, it's actually revealing who has the territory in your life. Is it the Lord or is it the enemy? Take a moment, close your eyes, don't be distracted. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, now, according to the timing, and that which you have revealed to take place in this moment, release those mantles. Release it. Release it. Release it. Release it. Thank you, Jesus. I see a countdown happening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it come stronger on your people. Let it come stronger on your people. Let it come stronger on your people. Let it come stronger on your people.
freedom over your bloodlines. Freedom. I declare freedom. I declare freedom for everyone under the sound of my voice. I declare freedom in the name of Jesus. Locate them, locate them, locate them, locate them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some have been bound, they didn't even know. Ikanama soko yira bra sekete. Lebranina makona mashika yira brana mako. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, let it come stronger. Let it come with direction. Let them be filled with the Spirit that brings us into the place of wisdom and revelation of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Father, we thank you because indeed you have met us here. And there is a work you will continue to do even after here. Because nothing can restrict your spirit. Let thy kingdom come in us, that it would be established on the earth through us. Because your kingdom cannot be stopped. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. But let us be partakers of its advancement. Whew. Lord, I see that there are tongues you want to release. 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 There are things that have kept them silent for too long. Release them now in the name of Jesus. And as you release them, connect them to accurate mentorship, accurate discipleship. Guide their path on the way they ought to go. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the healing that is taking place in this room. I thank you for the healing from the physical to the soul to the spiritual, because there are many that are realizing, I have lived this Christianity as a religion, not a relationship. And they are coming to accept you now. They are coming to receive your life now. Lord, do wonders with them. Do wonders with them. I see a grace for acceleration, a grace for impact. Lord, release it over their lives in the name of Jesus. There are some they thought they have lost time, but Lord, you are the redeemer of time. Renew their thinking in Jesus' name. Can we just lift up a praise to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way.